time for a WeChat workout. WeChat. Go to the Cliff Central account, tap connect, then message to show.
Ooh, what does this button do? Please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it is.
What the?
Talking Tech with the techie guy, Leroy Techie, on cliffcentral.com.
Right, good day. This is another episode of Talking Tech on Cliff Central, where we make technology simple and easy so anybody can use. My name is Liron Segev. I am thetechieguy.com. But to make technology even more simple and hot and sexy and just usable, we are joined today with Tanya Kowalski. Tanya?
Hi, Ron.
Are you here? Hello.
Yes, I'm here. Adjusting to a 5-day week as everyone else is.
I'll tell you what, this Monday to Friday thing, really overrated, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so are we ready to kick it? And today we've got quite a cool lineup. We're talking about a new cellular operator that's launching in South Africa today, just to giving us some more choices. We're also talking about the new Microsoft website that guesses your age, good, bad, indifferent. We're going to be talking about that as well. But our guest of honor this afternoon is we've got Kirsty Sharman, who is going to be talking to us about the whole new world of online and should people be spending money online versus the back page of the Sunday Times, where you're going to get the best return on investments. And effectively, if you have a business, where should you market it, how you should do it, what works, what doesn't work. Join us for that. She'll be giving us all the lowdown on that. And we're going to end off with a very, very cool gadget that I just picked up in Amsterdam. No, it's not what you think.
You said Amsterdam, you said gadget.
I'm just saying, you know, okay. You'll just have to stay tuned in for that. So I suppose let's kick it off with our new cellular operator that's been launched in South Africa today. It's nice to have choices. Choices are good, giving us competition. It's even, you know, the current guys, its competition is even better. So the company called Me and You Mobile. So meandyoumobile.co.za. It is a virtual network operator, which effectively means they're a fully fledged operator. You get a SIM card, you stick it into your phone, you get an 062 number, and you're able to work. The only thing that they don't have compared to the regular MTN, Vodacom, Cell C is they don't have physical towers. Essentially, that's the only difference. Otherwise, they have voicemail, they have absolutely everything. But what they do, what they are saying is, enough is enough. We're paying so much for this alleged free handset that is bundled into our pricing, but we're not getting any value out of that. So we're assuming it's free, but it isn't. And their whole thing is 100% online. You cannot go into any store. There isn't a store. They'll send you a SIM card in the post. You stick it into your phone, and then you're able to work. So the deals are really, really good. Launch day is today, which is the 4th of May. We're in May, right? 4th of May. And effectively, they've got a sign-on deal of $300, which gives you unlimited talk time. So that's kind of their opening special. I don't know how long this is going to last for, but $300 gives you your total talk time. So it's nice to have choices compared to everybody else. Their rates are really, really good. Their data rates are really good. Their talk rates are really, really good.
Is there space for another network?
Well, that's obviously... That's obviously the big question.
Yeah.
Can another operator really operate in this country? So virtual network operators are all the rage overseas because, you know, you don't have to have physical towers just to provide that service.
So how are they?
How are they different?
Yeah.
Cheap.
Okay.
Cheap. Money. Ka-ching, ka-ching.
And I assume they're not going to have stores.
Nothing.
So it's not about phones. It's basically someone who's just needing a number.
Absolutely.
And data.
You know, we've got this thing of that we absolutely positively must upgrade our phone every 2 years.
Mm.
And, you know, there's some really, really good working phones out there that just don't need to be upgraded. The phone just works. So if you have, like, kids, you know, you tend to pass down your phones to the kids or to your family members who don't need the latest technology. Why not give them a 50 Rand SIM card as opposed to a 300 Rand SIM card?
Yeah.
So it's all about being cheap. I like the fact that Me and You is in the title of the company because they say it's all about customer service. Now, obviously, it's launch day, so it's a little bit too early to put that to the test. But it's all about their whole vision is to say that you should be able to be self-sufficient. You should be able to do anything you want by yourself and not talk to a human being. Okay, which kind of appeals to me a lot because I don't want to talk to press one for this, press two for that.
Unless you're needing service, or unless you don't have...
Unless you're the problem.
Okay. You don't have coverage, or they haven't billed you correctly.
So all of those, they've got full-on call centers, they've got the Twitter, and they've got all of those kind of mechanisms that we've come accustomed to, including a telephone number to call in case there's issues. But if you want to, at 2 in the morning, you decide to add a data bundle, log online and add a data bundle. If you see that you're running, that you're about to travel internationally, you want to disable your, to freeze your SIM whilst you're away, you can do that. You don't have to get permission from somebody else. It's your account. So apparently their whole interface is very user-friendly. And I say apparently because none of us have access to it yet because it's only day one. But from my interview with him, they were saying that the whole thing is about their frustration from the other networks of it's always you've got to speak to someone. You've got to do something. But you've got to come in with your ID and you've got to do that. You've got to send a letter. Everything is done automatically, including Rika. So you can upload your ID book and you can upload your documents and they'll do all of that. It is Rika. Rika. We've got so many of these stupid things. So, you know, all of those things it's able to do. You log in, you get your number, some arrives in your phone, in the post, stick it into your phone and off you go. So I don't think it's too bad.
It sounds a little bit too good to be true. I like seeing a face to whatever I'm using. I like to see a shop or I like to see a tower.
There's a lot of that. So in South Africa, the whole point of e-commerce, why we've had issues with e-commerce in the past, we're very tactile people.
Yeah.
So we'll research the hell out of anything online. We'll read every blog and every review under the sun and we'll know more than the sales guy in the shop will know. But we want to walk in and touch a button and pick it up and see how heavy it is and see whether it might still buy it online later.
Mm.
But we want to have that tactile experience first. I think a lot of it is changing. A lot of e-commerce is becoming quite a thing. You know, we're going to speak about Mother's Day and kind of, you know, some online opportunities there. But it's all about that and making it convenient. Because realistically, once you've spoken to the nice man behind the counter, you don't really want to – he's not your bestie. You're not going to speak to him once a week to make sure things are going strong. And, you know, as long as your cell phone is working, you don't care. Where you do care is when you have issues. And where you do care is where you want to make a change and somebody needs to help you. So time will tell. Look, don't forget, Mr. Price has got their own cellular network at the moment for their customers, specifically focusing on people who can't get credit. I think we're going to see the banks in the future – being their own network operator as well, because who knows you better than your bank? They know how much you make. They know your bank account. They know your statements. So they're the best to give you credit because they know who you are. So I think virtual network operators are just starting in the country. This is a great bold step because it's not niche. In other words, you're not a standard bank customer or an MTN customer or a whoever customer. You're just anyone with a SIM card can apply for this.
Yeah.
So,
and how do we find out more about them?
So I think the easiest is meandyoumobile.co.za. So it's me and then and, not the and sign. Meandyoumobile.co.za. I think they've got a Twitter account as well. Meandyoumobile on Twitter as well.
Okay, cool. I guess it's worth checking out.
I think we should do like a little follow-up like a month down the track.
Yeah, and see how they're doing. See if anyone has bought into it.
Absolutely. See what the numbers are, whether they're willing to share any of that.
Whether their calls are being dropped.
They are piggybacking on the Cell C network. So now, good and bad in the past, depending on who you speak to.
Yeah.
So, time will tell. These guys are based out of Durban, so whether they'll make it up to Joburg and they'll say to us, look, we've been through this and we are surviving.
Mm.
Or we're not.
Let's
see how they go. Yeah. So that's the story on that side. Moving along, Tanya, you want to speak about Microsoft?
So I'm sure everyone has seen by now on Facebook, Twitter, I mean, everyone's been sharing their real Microsoft age. So if you go onto howold.net, you can upload a photo of yourself and basically the app, the program will tell you what your real age is. I absolutely love it because I got a really good result. I look 9 years younger than my real age.
Perfect.
Yeah, so I look 18. I'm joking. So I'm really excited about that. But now, As much as people have been sharing and other people have been very disappointed with what their age outcome is or very happy like I am, but apparently Microsoft says that it won't keep your photos, but then there's a messaging that says they actually will keep your photos and that they're able to, you know, that they have the right to copy, distribute, transmit, publicly display, publicly perform, reproduce, edit, translate, and reformat your submission. So sure.
That's a bit harsh.
It's a bit harsh. I don't really care because, you know, I look so young.
So you're fine.
I'm absolutely fine. But, you know, but I mean, we all have to bear in mind that whatever we're putting out there can be used in any form.
Yeah, but I mean, especially when they make it that obvious.
Yeah.
You know, we are going to be speaking in future episodes about cyber health and cyber security and things that go online and how that works.
Yeah.
But now the whole thing is that you're doing it in good faith. You're uploading to Microsoft, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I mean, out of all the people, Microsoft should be the ones you could trust. But they're saying in their disclaimer, saying, look, we can repurpose. What I like the reformat. I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah.
I mean, if what, we don't like the way that you look.
We're just going to make you blonde or out your smile lines. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. Okay. So, all right. So you've got to be just so a bit of a disclaimer. Try the site. What is the website again?
So it is how-old.net.
And you can upload any photo of
anything?
Yeah,
pretty much, yeah.
Okay, I've seen people upload photos of dogs, cats, to some serious results.
Yeah, I'm certainly not going to put my dogs and cats.
Yeah, okay.
So basically
each to their own, hey?
They might not store your picture, but they can use your picture in any way they want to.
Okay,
so you might see yourself on a teaser's ad or something. Who knows?
Anything is possible. Yeah. So big disclaimer, if you're going to do it knowing what you're getting yourself into. As I say, we will be speaking about cyber security and health and what you should be doing with your images and protect yourself. But, yeah, I suppose Microsoft is doing something unique, trying to get technology to try and be a little bit more intelligent. I did see a line on that says that they'll be doing they'll be improving the system as time goes by. I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah.
So will your age go up or down? I suppose we don't like the results.
Maybe they'll have like Botox detectors or plastic surgery, and maybe be able to tell your real age, you know, without the plastic surgery and interventions.
Pre-makeup, post-makeup, exactly. That kind of idea. All right, cool. All right, well, I suppose Microsoft's doing must have their reason. Maybe it's built into their new virtual reality helmet that they are bringing out. Anything's possible, yeah, these guys. All right, so that'd be quite cool. So after the break, coming up, we have got Kirsty, who's going to be talking to us about online and what you can do, where you should be investing your money. If you've got a business, you want to launch it, you definitely should be tuning in to Talkie Tech on Cliff Central.
Unreal. Uncensored. Unradio. CliffCentral.com.
And we are back on Talking Tech on Cliff Central. In the studio, we've got Tanya, who's going to be making sense of all this weird, wonderful tech. And Kirsty, who is, no title apparently, Webfluential South Africa, head of Webfluential South Africa.
Yeah, that's
big
great.
Chief in charge of Web, just general know-it-all about everything to do with Webfluential and to be influential online. How's that?
Yeah, that's a pretty
long.
Good title.
It's a bit long. It goes on a card, like you can say like PTO, you know, something like that.
If I had to write on a business card, we might have a bit of problems, but we'll be okay.
Details. Business card. Those are like the real things, right?
Can I also mention here that Kirsty's just stepped off a plane?
Okay, but okay. Good.
Actually, she flew all the way from Greece for this interview.
In fact, we cut her holiday short. That's how committed she is.
I know.
Okay, dear boss, please insert raise here.
Off Greek Isle and into studio. Thank you.
She looks sober, though. Well,
yeah, she looks bronzed, healthy.
Do I? I'm British, so I don't tan very easily.
At all. all right, so Kirsty, we want to talk about what do you do. You know, we want to talk about online. We want to talk about businesses. You know, there's a big thing about kind of, you know, the world has changed, clearly. It's no longer picking up the phone. It's no longer about back page of some publication and you're going to spend R1 million on a campaign. You know, you can get so much more mileage for that money spent elsewhere, being able to do it differently. So what is your experience? Lay the scene for us. What are you finding out there with businesses? What are they doing?
Yeah, so I think for me, online has been a really, really interesting space. And it's almost quite weird because you end up being quite young and having quite a vast span of your career because there's so much you can learn online. But I find that the brands that are really getting it right at the moment are the brands that have a good integration of everything. The brands that are starting to not necessarily take all of their budget away from traditional and move it to digital, but taking the right amount. And slowly but surely, as the reach of online gets more and more, that budget needs to start sort of shifting across. So I find that for me that's the most relevant, and where brands are doing the best overall is to spend a bit, you know, a little bit in necessarily print, or maybe right. even have a billboard, you have above the line campaign, but then to carry that through on digital as well, not to have the two in isolation.
So it's not one or the other. At this stage, you should be doing a bit of a mix.
Definitely, yeah. I think, you know, if you're looking at a smaller business potentially, I think you might be, you know, you might have a restaurant, or you might sure. have something like that, and you maybe you don't have above the line spend, you don't have millions to spend on TV spaces. Then for me, you know, looking at digital is something that you just can't go wrong with. The targeting that you have on digital is not like the targeting you have in any right. other sort of advertising. So that's really great. You know, you can, you know, I work a lot with traditional sort of, you know, online media buying as well as in the influencer marketing space. And what we find really works well is a combination of both. So, for example, if you're launching a new restaurant, I'm going to use you as an example, Tanya. Tanya's also a mommy blogger, so we can use her as an example. If you're launching a new restaurant and maybe it has an incredible play area, and that's something that you want to highlight because you know that will bring new customers, a combination of, you know, maybe some Facebook ads that only target parents, or you might say, okay, well, if we have really limited spend, then we can only target women because we know that might, you know, they might be more likely to make the decisions. I don't have a kid, so I don't know. But, you know, then you can also spend a bit of money with Tanya to get that sort of credibility in terms of maybe, you know, get her to go to the restaurant with her child, talk about her experience. And for me, like, that approach you can do, you know, whereas before you sort of had to have a TV ad, and that sort sure. of spend was just unreasonable for brands.
And I think that's, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's about also the personal experience now, talking directly to the audience.
Yeah.
You know, kind of saying, look, here is what I did. Here's what happened to me. And people respect that a lot more than, you know, a 30-second commercial flouted on, you know, TV between, you know, whilst you do your toilet break. Tanya, are you finding that from the blog point of view, are people, you know, you do a lot of personal experience stuff. I mean, yeah. or are you finding people are reacting better to that?
Better than what? Well, better than a
banner.
A banner ad. Yeah, let's use a banner ad as an example.
It's hard to measure. So people might say, oh, I love this post, I love this picture. But how do you measure the return? How can I say that 10 more people are going to walk into that restaurant? Mm. And Kirsty, this might probably, it's probably a hard sell for you. Mm. How do you convince people that there's going to be return?
Yeah. So I think the main thing that what we do is we look at basically doing the best targeting possible, because if we can target the right people, the chances of getting the highest return are going to be your best. You know, I always say, if you have, you know, if you spent money and you released this video online, for example, you're a car brand and you only got 100 views in the video, but you sold a car.
Right.
That's a great return.
Sure.
It's much better than getting 100,000 views because the video was funny and you didn't sell a car. So that's really the most important. And I think, yeah, and for me, we always sort of look at business objective first, and the strategy that leads sort of comes after that.
All right. So if you want to join this conversation and kind of have your 5 cents worth or 10 cents worth, go into our WeChat channel and you can kind of log in there and send us messages to screen. Tanya, what's your Twitter handle if someone wants to contact you directly?
It's Tanya Kovarsky. I'll spell it. It's not an easy one. TanyaKovarsky.
Or just get a hold of me. It's at LIRON_SEGEV. So if you want to if you've got any questions or you want to know anything, kind of obviously pop us a quick line. But getting back to this, you know, at the end of the day, people want a return. I mean, businesses want a return. No matter how big or small the business is, I'm spending R1,000, I'm spending R100,000, I've got to be convinced that I'm going to get something for that spend. How do you kind of do you deal with that question? Because you can't guarantee it, obviously.
So the one thing that I love the most about digital, and this is definitely why I'm in this industry, because you have a beautiful thing called cost per acquisition.
Another acronym, yes?
Yes. I didn't say CPA.
I you did well.
It's one of my favorite terms, and I use it quite a lot. And it's actually something that I taught myself. About a year ago, I launched an e-store. And one of the ways I kind of learned about cost per acquisition was going, okay, I have to spend some money on Facebook ads to sell my, you know, Star Wars cookie, my Star Wars mugs and my Darth Vader sort of hats and all that weird and wonderful
May
stuff.
May the fourth be
May
with
the
you.
Fourth be with you. It's even on my out of office email signature. yeah, so, and that was one of the main ways that I started teaching myself about you know, looking at what you spend in order to be, in order like to see what you return. And I don't know if any of you guys know about conversion tracking, but conversion tracking is something that you can run on Google. It's something that you can run on Facebook, you know, down to the point where you can go, cool, I served this many Facebook ads, that many, those many ads were clicked on by a person, that person went through this far in the store, and that's, this is how many people hit the checkout button. So how you can measure things online, and you can do the same with Google ads as well. You can do the same, I think, yeah, you can do the same on Twitter. So like for me, the way you can measure these things is much greater than ever before. So you might have a more of a standard approach in terms of, okay, if I have a restaurant, then how many people got through the door? Exactly. So for that, you could maybe do a coupon. So if you had a website, you could do a page saying if you ran a promotion using influencers, and those influencers tweeted how many people went to that page and signed up for that coupon.
Right.
So now you can actually start measuring that stuff. So I found it much more measurable than anything you could do traditionally before, because if you sort of had a billboard, there's no way you can tell.
You know, that's always been my biggest gripe. So, you know, like I run a blog and you got a brand and you say to them, yeah, we can measure everything down to the nth degree. And they're not getting it. A lot of people are saying, no, you know, we'll rather spend on a billboard on the side of the road. And which isn't measurable, it's all estimates. How many people drive past is the best kind of matrix that they could possibly have, but doesn't tell you how many eyeballs were on that ad. I mean, it tells you nothing. Mm. You drive here, we all drive here. What did you drive past? Who knows? You listen to an ad.
I was in an Uber, so I was on my phone.
I rest my case. So all those wonderful spends of R1 million going down those, you know, Rivonia Boulevard,
yeah,
was actually complete waste on you. You saw not a single thing. Yeah. But if it was online, and if it was on a web page that you were already interested in, mm, on a topic that you were already interested in, mm, you had a much better chance of them actually getting your attention.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, that's one of the things that a lot of people, and if I can just go back to where you're talking about brand spending on billboards and those things, mm-hmm, you know, we also have to understand that the industry, especially here in South Africa, is a bit, it's not necessarily an old industry, it's a new industry actually still. So there's a lot of education that needs to happen, and it's a process to start moving things across. I mean, I don't think we ever expected, you know, brands to just go, cool, I'm going to stop spending here and I'm going to start, sure, spending here. But we are seeing the spends increase.
I mean, well, do you have an idea of percentage estimates between the two? So like X?
Yeah, it's super hard to tell, because obviously every brand is different.
Sure.
But I'll often, you know, if a brand spending, if they have it running a TV campaign, if, you know, like a 2 in 10 spend to digital actually can get you a pretty good reach. And that goes up. I mean, if I look at the sort of digital budgets we were playing around with 3 or 4 years ago, it was tiny, you know, and we really are starting to get...
You're seeing companies are now, yeah, saying, give us more online.
And I think that's because they're starting to see the results.
Okay. I mean, that's, yeah, but I mean, I suppose return on investment is what everybody wants. You can prove that it works, they'll spend more.
Yeah. And I think, you know, also, you know, a little bit about what you were talking about influence, about, you know, influencers and getting guys to talk about specific things. So a lot of people, when you think about influencer marketing, they think about, okay, well, this is a person and they're going to tweet about my brand,
right,
and then I'm going to pay them for that. And it's kind of like seemed as this media buy thing. But a lot of people, if they just look at it simply, what it is you're actually shortcutting the process of building your own fans to advertise to an audience. You're going, I have a restaurant. I'm going to use you again. So, sorry, Tanya.
Please do.
If anyone has a restaurant, call Tanya.
You might as well give the blog name whilst you do. If you're doing a punch, you might as well do it.
Rattle and Mum.
There we go.
The best blog in Africa, that one.
There you
that
go. Okay. Winning. Okay. Yeah. You know, if you have a restaurant and you're going, cool, I want to launch this, and I have a short period of time that I can do that, and I want to talk to people that are actively online and probably will be interested in that, I have Wi-Fi and a kids area, the way that you can find that audience is to go to a place that audience already exists.
Sure.
And that audience already exists on Tanya's blog. So for me, it's also like...
Just tapping into that.
You're just tapping into that. And for me, it's much more of a targeted tapping into that than a billboard.
Well, and again, people don't wake up in the morning going, oh, I wonder what my favorite toothpaste is doing today. Okay, nobody cares. But, oh, I wonder what Tanya's up to. Okay, it's more of a person. It's more not a stalking thing. We're not advocating stalking. But
stalking
it's more,
is when you're talking. That's what I was saying.
But it's more like, what has she been up to? And then, oh, yeah, you know, I really liked what she did last time. Let me see what she's doing now. And maybe it's got an appeal to me as well. But I've never woke up, not even once, and say, oh, I wonder what my toothpaste is up to.
Okay. But I think
never.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying in terms of you might go, I'm not sure what my new toothpaste is up to. But I'll use insurance as an example, because we have a few customers that we run some some media for, and we do some influencer marketing, and they have insurance brands. Insurance brands are really hard to talk about. They aren't sexy, but the key is finding things that are relevant to that audience.
Sure.
So if you have an insurance brand, for an example, and one of their major specials is that they will insure your golf clubs, for example, for a minimum fee if you have insurance with them, and that's something that they do that's unique. A sports blogger can actually talk about that.
Yeah,
they're not necessarily going to talk about, wow, I love this insurance company and their logo is so great. But they can talk about something that's sports related, and that will resonate with their audience.
Sure. Okay. On that note, we'll be right back when we're talking all about advertising online, where you should spend your money. So tune in.
It has been locked away from the eyes of the world. Chained, never to be released. But now, it wants to get out. Stay tuned to Cliff Central weekdays to find out how you can unleash the Jeep Renegade. Find hidden codes and videos posted by Jeep SA, and you could win Jeep Renegade prizes, as well as become the person to single-handedly unleash the Jeep Renegade upon the shores of South Africa. Are you renegade enough?
I'm a renegade, I just hit the ground running.
Visit unleashrenegade.co.za to find out. T's and C's apply.
I am the future of South Africa. On my shoulders, I carry the hopes and dreams of generations to come. I'm eager to learn, but even more eager to use my knowledge for good. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters.
At Sibanye Gold, we believe our youth is worth its weight in gold, which is why we are so committed to developing, nurturing, and grooming our young people into future leaders. Sibanye Gold, we are one.
Unreal. Uncensored. Unradio.
CliffCentral.com.
Unradio indeed. And you're listening to Talking Tech on Cliff Central. In studio we have Tanya Kavarsky, and we're talking about to Kirsty. About kind of what are we doing about online and about being influential, finding the right people to talk about your product. You're involved with a product called Webfluential. In fact, head of Webfluential South Africa, so you should know about one or two things about it. So I suppose let's start by what is Webfluential?
So Webfluential.com, it's an online platform that helps connect brands with relevant influencers. So again, it's helping brands, you know, shortcut that process, helping them find audiences that already sort of match their target market. And there was a lot of that happening in the industry. It wasn't necessarily in terms of like who was right. How did you know who had the most relevance for your brand? There was a lot of stats in the industry, you know, page views going around. But for people who aren't in digital, they don't necessarily understand what is the right thing. I mean, Leon, you and me were talking about earlier about, you know, you can have 1,500 million page views, but if they're all on your website for 1 second, it doesn't really matter. Exactly. So for us, it's about helping brands connect with influencers that are the right people to talk about their brand, that have engaged audiences. That's what we do.
So the process is you find a bunch of influencers, they'll sign up to the platform, and then what happens?
So they sign up to the platform. We then plug directly into Facebook API, Twitter API, Google Analytics. So what it does is you authorize your Facebook account, you authorize your Twitter account, you authorize your Google Analytics. It then goes there and it pulls all of your information back in. So it says, okay, Tanya has this many Twitter followers. This is what her engagement rate in. A lot of these stats that are really important. I mean, we used to really just look at and say, well, this is how many Twitter followers this person has, and this is how many blog readers they have. But we look a bit deeper than that. We start to look into engagements. And we end up, we give them a Webfluential score, which is based on three things. It's based on reach, resonance, and relevance. And in short, reach is obviously how many people you can reach, because that is important to a sense. Relevant is how relevant you are to the audience that you're talking to. And resonance is when you post content, how likely is that content to be shared. So it gives you a much broader spectrum of how influential that person would actually be to speak about your brand.
A message from Twitter. Natalie wants to know, will you expose my stats?
So, is this Natalie?
No surname.
Oh, okay. I was going to say,
hello, Natalie.
Because we've got Natalie's on there.
Lots of Natalie.
Yeah. So, we don't expose your stats, no. If you log into your own Webfluential account, then you will be able to see your stats as we pull them in. All we expose is your Webfluential score, which is calculated based on your stats. So you have influencers, for example, that have they might have a higher Webfluential score than someone who has double the amount of followers than them, because their engagement rate is higher, and when they post content, that content is more likely to be shared. So it's not really about exposing your stats, but, you know, there also was something that needed to happen in the industry in terms of regulating the market, in terms of this bartering trade of bloggers and influencers doing stuff and payment being processed. You know, we really do act in the middle. So we act in the best interest of the influencers in order to get them work. I mean, we do a lot of work out in the industry, a lot of PR. We have, you know, I'm out in meetings and dealing with all the media houses and explaining to them why influencer marketing works, so that they can invest in turn. And then also on behalf of the marketers, to make sure that the people signing up to the platform actually are influential and actually are going to give them a good return on their money.
Now, I think that's key, because a lot of us kind of in the industry, now we have a media pack where we kind of send it through to the brands and we say, hey, look at us, this is what we can do. But a lot of them don't understand it. So a lot of them will look at one thing. We'll look at how many page views do you get, or how many hits, which kind of drives me dilly. And that really doesn't tell a story. So your hits rates could be awesome, could be off the chart, but if people are on there for a second or less, they're clearly not reading your stuff. They've just gone in and gone and bounced straight out. So how important are those kind of values when you're explaining it to a company?
So I find for me, those kind of values are, sometimes we sit on the other end of the table being marketers and being blogger. I'm also a blogger myself. So we sit on the other end of the table and we expect marketers to understand that. It's not their trade. It's not what they do. They run a business. They're not in digital marketing. And to be honest, they don't want to. So what Webfluential really was a way to simplify that, to say that we're going to go and look at all of that data all together and come back to you with a Webfluential score. And you can see the three lines, reach, resonance, and resonance, per channel. So you can see on
Twitter,
you might be more influential on Twitter or more influential on Facebook. You know, you might have I'm on Webfluential as well, as an influencer, and you'll see how my scores have dropped over the last sort of like 3 months as things has really started picking up with Webfluential, because I kind of stopped blogging because I didn't have any time.
You have like a real job.
And then, you know, my scores started to drop. And for me, that's always been a really great example. It's also about keeping things relevant, because, you know, you might have a great, you know, there was also a lot of this. You might have a great month and, you know, you've posted this video of a cat, you know, doing something. I don't know, cat videos always do well. And then you get incredible stats, and then you use those stats. But with Webfluential, our scores are monitored daily. So your score can go up and it can go down, and that's really important. So as you engage more with your audience and as you post good content to your audience, your scores are going to go up. As you start being less engaged, your scores are going to go down.
Yeah, but I think that's key, because you've got to keep it up. I mean, Tanya, you know that, you know, if you post once and then never again, you feel it in your stats, you feel it in your audience, and in fact, they start shouting, saying, well, hold on, I want consistency.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, from my experience and from as an influencer, as you call it, it's a way of weeding out the fake likes, the fake stats, the, hey, I've got 30,000 unique views today. What does that even mean?
What does it mean? Yeah, exactly.
And I guess for advertisers as well, Webfluential is a great way also for them to weed out who's, you know, uniques are and who's bought fake followers.
But I think you've nailed it. We say it's not their job to know as a marketer. Because, I mean, for them, the discussion I had with one of the brands, they said, well, we don't understand this. What we do understand is a formula. So you take number of page views, you stick it into a formula, it spits out this thing called CPM, and this is how much they're willing to pay you per 1,000 impressions of a banner. That's all we know, because it's simple, it's easy, calculatable, and finished. What it seems like you've done is you've given them another value to work with.
Yeah.
Another easy formula for them to, better, I suppose, get their head around. So, because they understand relevance.
Yeah.
They understand those words. I mean, it makes sense to them.
Yeah.
We come with all these lovely terms about cost per
equivalent. We nerds.
So, I mean, we geeks, damn it. It's a new nerd. That's kind of from my point. That's is where I'm finding the big difference with Webfluential is, it doesn't matter what I say in my media pack. It could be amazing. And you're right. You could have that one anomaly post that just done really well and it's influenced your stats for that week. And now, guess what? That's your screenshot that you'll use forever in a day.
Yeah.
But that's not what this is all about. It's about being constant, constantly updating information and keeping those scores up there. And I suppose if you're good and you know what you're doing, that's not a problem.
Exactly.
If you're faking it, you're going to have a hard time.
So that for me is the biggest thing, is that – like, our system is built to highlight people who speak relevantly to their audience, who have a high engagement rate because they post often. the system is aimed to highlight those people. So what I find is really the most important is that if you genuinely are interested in the topic that you're talking about and you're passionate about it and you are blogging two or three times a week at least and you're doing what you should be in order to build an audience, if you want to technically leverage off that audience, you're going to have to put work in to do it. Then you shouldn't have anything to worry about.
Or anything to hide.
Yeah, you shouldn't have anything to hide then.
I mean, we get this often. I mean, Tanya, you know this. You get like from a brand or from a PR company saying, so sorry to do this, but it's that time of year. Can you please, if you don't mind, send us your stats? Because like, it seems to be like this guarded secret that nobody wants to share. And
I'd love to live in a world where everyone just sends their link to their web, because we make it so easy for influencers. It's
there it is.
Webfluential.com/your name, and that's your page with your scores.
But to go back to Natalie's point, but that's only if you enable that. If you don't, you are basically, it's private, it's confidential.
Yeah.
Only the brand will be able to see it.
So we would recommend that you enable that. And don't also be too worried. Like, I think the other thing that people have to remember is, you know, you don't have to have 50,000 followers on Twitter to get work. There's lots of brands who are using Webfluential that don't have massive budgets, that are trying to do something local and relevant and really would want to work with. You know, we've done a campaign before where guys have said, I really want to find the most relevant people, and I don't care if they have 1,500 followers or 2,000 followers. I'd rather use 20 of those people than one big person. And that is really starting
but
to happen more and more.
You're going to get more bang for your buck.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you go to someone who's got 100,000 followers, they're going to want 20 grand a tweet. If you're going to get someone who's got 1,000 followers, if you give them a meal out, they'll be absolutely delighted and they'll be the best reviews ever. There is a view that you're trying to buy your influence. You're trying to buy, you know, the brand is trying, you know, giving it to you a great meal at a great restaurant for free. Hopefully your review is, you know, favorable. It's very hard for a lot of people to kind of still be objective.
Yeah, so I think that's really the place that we play in, is that we don't necessarily do stuff for free. So if you want to have a tweet from an influencer or blog post from an influencer, it needs to go through the proper channels, and that tweet or Facebook post would be paid for. We recommend that you give them content that's relevant to their audience, but we also recommend that, you know, like, influencers can accept or reject briefs. Like, I've worked really hard to build up an audience that sits, you know, and it's in this geek space, and I actually was always on Android, and this was always my example. If I could speak about a Samsung phone, I talk about that anyway, and I already have built up the audience. I've now just gone and bought an iPhone, so things are changing up a bit. But, but you know, those things are, like, that, you know, that's important. So if you find the right people and you actually put time and effort into it, then I don't think we have to worry too much about that. I think when you're looking for, cool, I'm going to give someone a free dinner because they're going to, then they're going to talk about it. Why don't you rather talk to them about something that is unique to them? So, you know, for me, I'm a bit of a geek. So, like, if I can get the fastest free Wi-Fi at a restaurant, I think that's amazing. So invite me to the restaurant because you know that I like that.
Yeah, it talks to you. It talks to your audience. It talks to what, you know, what you want to be talking about anyways.
Exactly.
So it's not harder. Because, I mean, for you to – if you're a hardcore geek and this is what you're talking about, for you to all of a sudden be talking passionately about, I don't know, holiday, shoes, makeup,
yeah,
and it's never been in your brief, it's going to come out as fake anyway.
Yes, exactly.
Everybody can see.
Yeah.
We'll be able to see
and
that.
Then, and that's the other thing about the Webfluential scores, is that when those things start coming out as fake, then your scores are going to start dropping because your engagement rate is going to drop. So it also encourages guys to accept the right briefs. And there is an accept or reject process. You know, you get a brief, and I've gotten a brief before and gone, I can't talk about this.
I've received a couple of briefs to do with sports. I'm sure if anyone knows me, sports are just so not my thing.
Yeah.
So my comment is always, unless you make a techie, unless you can find a technical angle to this, something that appeals to me and the audience, I'm just not available. It doesn't matter what you're throwing at me. It's just not me.
Yeah.
I can't fake it. I don't know these people from a bar of soap. I could be on the plane next to what – just – means nothing to me.
Yeah. But if we can use a good example, but goal line technology, you can talk about.
I did that. And that was amazing. Because to me, it was all about the tech and how you can detect whether it's in and out.
It was about the
World Cup and it was exactly the right timing. And it's got a great, the readers loved it. But it made sense. Because it made sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're writing your blog, I mean, Johnny, you know this better than anyone. You can't fake the stuff unless you're writing from passion, you know, with your passion. For you to all of a sudden be talking about, I don't know, Kaiser Chiefs' latest game last night.
There's always an angle. I'm sorry. I think there's always an angle.
You could have
childhood dreams about playing for Kaiser Chiefs. No, but I hear what you're saying.
It's got to be your passion.
It has
though.
To be real.
It's got to be real. I mean,
for sure.
You can only fake it so many.
Sorry.
I'll get to the Amsterdam gadget just now.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So I think Webfluential. So what's the URL so people can read
it's
more about
webfluential.com.
It?
Webfluential.com. I think we'll, I'm happy to just tweet it.
Okay. Let's do that as well, and we'll retweet it to make sure everybody gets
and
the
then
message.
I think just one other thing that I didn't necessarily include in, and it's just something because it's actually just recently been launched, about a month ago did it go live, is Webfluential Reports. So these are a boring thing, and I know reports aren't the most fun thing, but what we are, you know, as a standalone company trying to do is start to actually help people understand when they spend money on influencer marketing, when they spend money on media, what do they get? So, you know, we've got one or two great case studies of brands that have done campaigns, and now we're starting to see, okay, you know, this influencer tweeted, these are the people that retweeted that. This is how much earned media you saw. These are the people, you know, you can necessarily click off and see who the people were that engaged. So those things that are also sort of coming into the mix are, again, why from an influencer's perspective to be working with Webfluential makes a lot of sense, because it's also giving credibility to what they do.
Well, and at the end of the day, return on investment. You know, people will spend 5 million if you can show them 10 million return. People will spend 1,000 rand if you can show them 5,000 rand return. Mm. People are going to stop spending when you can't show them those kind of returns.
Yeah.
So if you can do that, then, you know, your job is pretty much done.
Can I ask a question? How long would that return on investment last for? So people might not necessarily buy a Mazda today, but that return might appear in 6 months or a year's time.
Yeah.
What's the demand for that?
So that's a great. So like telcos and motoring companies are big ones. And I have quite a big debate with a few of them saying, you know, for me that's more of a long term approach. When you're looking, you know, you should have sort of a two prong approach, and you should have people. You should be talking on your own platforms. So you have the frequency, and then you should be talking, getting influencers to talk about your brand, relevant influencers to talk about your brand, because then you get the credibility. But the chance that someone goes out and buys a Mazda that day.
Yeah. Like, wow, great tweet. Yeah. I'm going to buy a car today.
It's very low, but we are starting to do really cool things now. Like, we're starting to do things like retargeting, so we can now serve advertising to people who've read Mazda related content online. So you might go, cool, you don't buy a car, and a month later you get served a banner saying, well, if you book a test drive today, you'll get 10%. You probably won't get 10% off a Mazda, but what I mean. So you can do those sorts of things. So you can start delivering those results. But I do think that, for me, there's that benefit of that long-term credibility. And I think when you're talking about, you know, brands that are telcos and motoring, it needs a bit more of a long-term approach to build up credibility over time. Also, the other thing we haven't spoke about is the SEO benefits are incredible. And this really is something purely that we knew would work when we built Webfluential. We had done a lot of research behind it, but the only way that we really could truly have a case study was to work with a specific brand, use specific keywords in the post, write the content as organically as possible, and let it run for 6 months. And needless to say, that person's number one on Google for the keyword we were looking at. So
proof is in the pudding.
So that's, again, like a long-term approach a lot of brands where they've just gone and said, cool, I'm going to get someone to tweet about me. Okay, well, if we tweet and do a blog post, that content lives online forever. So someone's going to go and they're going to search, cool, I want to buy a new Mazda hatchback. And Tanya's, you know, she might have done a review on it 3 months ago, but her site's much more credible. Because that's what Google wants. Google wants
longevity as well,
guys that post regularly. And then they're going to find a review, which is an endorsement. So those things over time is incredibly valuable.
Well, you'll be happy to know, in the event that I was in Amsterdam, they kept on referring, every time they were talking about a product, kept on referring to our blogger's review, our blogger's review, our blogger's review. Mm. Not once did they actually say, as seen in the Sunday Times or as seen in that publication. It was all about the online blogger community. So, Kirsty, thank you very much for popping in. Thank
Pleasure.
You for telling us about it. If they want to get a hold of you, what's the Twitter handle or the...
So you can either tweet me, I'm at Kirsty Carrot, or you can just tweet Webfluential. I think we'll just tweet it. I've been on a plane and I haven't slept for about 2 hours, so I'm not going to spell live on radio.
Okay. So you'll tweet us, we'll tweet you.
There you go.
Our people will find your people.
Yeah, but if you just go to webfluential.com,
it's all there.
It's all there, yeah.
100%. Thank you.
Unreal. Uncensored. Unradio. Clipcentral.com.
All right, so you've heard it here, people. Go to Webfluential, check it out. If you're a brand and you want to engage with influence, there's no point in trawling Twitter and trying to work out who the best person for you is. Just the number of followers that people have doesn't necessarily mean that they're influential in that space. We all know that you can buy fake followers. That's easy. Again, with stats on the blog, just someone sending you a message saying, hey, check how many hits I've got, also means nothing. You want screenshots of Google Analytics, but Web Financial makes it all very simple, so check that out. If you're an influencer, definitely hook up into that. I think it's free as far as I know. No, it's definitely free. And once you're on there, you know, basically get your stuff together. You know, even if you never use it, but just to get yourself an understanding of where you stand and where you fit in the picture, there's value right there. And as soon as you start, you'll see there's actually great value in using the platform. Yeah, so I think definitely check that out. So Webfluential is your place of choice. Moving along to the gadget, which is the segment of where we are now.
The Amsterdam gadget.
It's an Amsterdam gadget. Woohoo! Okay. Good news, bad news. Okay. Bad news, it's not from the red light district. It's nothing to do with coffee shops or any narcotics whatsoever. That's the bad news. The good news is it is from a company that's known for a GPS called TomTom. You might have heard of them. And now it's not another friggin' GPS because we really need another one. I'm not sure. But what TomTom has done is they've actually decided to shake things up. And TomTom are very kind of entrepreneurial type of company. And they've realized there's a big problem in the market with action cams. You know those GoPros that you stick on your head and you kind of just watch yourself falling down a cliff? And what these guys have done is said, look, there's a lot of action cams, but they're doing things wrong. And they spent a bit of time and a lot of money and a lot of R&D, and they've come up with something called the TomTom Bandit. And this is an action cam. It does absolutely everything you can possibly think of and more. So anyone who's actually done any of these adventure sports knows that the biggest problem with these things, you record for hours, you land, you come home, and then you got to edit. And it's such a pain and such a mission, you just land up leaving things on your memory stick and you just never touch it. What TomTom has done, they've recognized the same thing, and they've said, no, there's no reason to wait till you get home because the action's hot now. You want to be able to share it with your friends right now. It's all about sharing. So the camera hooks up to your phone. It's got an automatic action ability. So it detects when your heart rate was up, if you hook it up to a heart rate monitor. It detects when you were going really fast, really slow, down this mountain, your altitude change, all these sensors. And it knows where the highlights are. It then automatically splices all those highlights together, creating a clip for you that you can just basically stick onto your favorite social media. All to do with your phone. It's all very, very clever bit of technology. And it's waterproof. I mean, you can do everything that you could want to do without all the pains of the current cameras that we have on the market. So I'm quite impressed. TomTom's really taken a big step out. We don't know availability. We think towards August, but...
And pricing in India?
Yeah, so in the UK, it's £309. So basically €429. So very much in line with the current cameras that we have. Not bad.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was my pick from Amsterdam. Oh, and you can hear, I just got back.
Drink some water. How long was your weekend?
Sure, long, eh? I can't, this is driving me mad.
Okay, should I close off?
I think you're going to
have to. Okay, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great week, even if it's 5 days. And tune in next Monday at 10 o'clock. This podcast will also be available for download within probably about an hour or so. So if you missed part of it or you'd like to share it, please do so. Have a great week. Cheers.
CliffCentral.com.